Well, it is time once again for maybe the most favorite guest I've ever had in 26 years on the Dory Monson Show. Every time I have World War II combat vet Phil Sewellman on the show, the response is just amazing. And Fridays with Phil. Phil joins us once again this afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. Phil, my friend, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine, even with all the heat. 95 today.
I know it. Are you handling this? What's tougher, being in the mud in the European theater or sitting on your patio in Bellevue sipping lemonade and dealing with 95 degrees?
The latter will answer the question. Oh, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this, Phil, because, you know, you and I have talked many times now.
Yes.
I feel like we're starting to get to know each other. And as I hear your story, sir, I hear such a toughness and such a spirit. And I think that I would have been such a wimp if I had been drafted into battle. But we've talked several times. Do you think I could have shared a bunker with you?
Yeah, yeah, I'll say. No, you wouldn't have been a wimp. You just fall in line and do what everybody else does.
Is that right? Okay, so
yeah, unless you're looking to be a hero, maybe a dead hero, but yeah.
Oh man. So in case people are listening for the first time now, you're a Seattle native, Garfield High School grad. You've had a really good life here. How old are you now, Phil?
96.
So I don't know if I've asked you this before, because you are remarkably sharp as can be at age 96. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I don't know. I've heard that same remark from lots of people, lots of friends. And in fact, my doctor the other day asked me what I attribute my longevity to. And, you know, I think there's one word, it would be moderation.
Yeah. Okay.
I never go overboard for anything. I don't go looking for trouble.
That's great. So you've told me a couple of stories. You've told me the latrine story.
Yeah.
The last time we talked, you told me about being on that hill with a single lone tree, and the leaf came fluttering down because a bullet had separated it from the tree. And you've told me that you have lots of other stories that you would love to share with me and my listeners. And we talked to your daughter. What in the world is the lemonade story, Phil?
Well, that would be the. It's an interesting story. It's humorous, and it was when I realized that I had Lady Luck on my shoulder. So.
Oh, really? Okay, tell me more.
Okay. I told you I graduated Garfield in 1943, in June of 1943. And in July, I was inducted. I had a report to, I don't know if you, how long you've been in the Seattle area, but there was a building called the Federal Building down on, I don't know, somewhere around First and Madison in Seattle.
Yep.
And that's where the induction ceremony was.
Okay.
It wasn't much of a ceremony if you could breathe. And you could talk. I think you made it into the Army.
As long as you could fog a mirror, right?
That's right.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think I've asked you this before. But at Garfield High School, you've told me about you loved growing up in the neighborhood there, that you had lots of friends, you had a lot of fun as a high school kid. Were you scared when you were standing in that induction line, or were you looking forward to adventure? What was going through your heart and soul then, Phil?
I definitely was not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Having had no idea whatsoever what was in store. You go from a nice, soft home, mother's cooking and that sort of thing, and now I'm leaving home for the first time. I'm 18 years old, you know.
Yeah.
And when I'm standing in line with approximately 50 other guys, some big ones, some tall ones, some small ones, some short ones, all sizes and descriptions. I even saw the biggest guy there passed out when they gave us a shot. They gave us a tetanus shot. He passed out right in front of me. It went down like a heap.
Okay, so he wouldn't have done very well with this whole coronavirus vaccine then. If he was passing.
No, didn't bother me one bit. No,
okay.
Not at
okay,
all.
Okay, got it. So you weren't looking forward to it, but man, it sounds like you quickly adjusted your mind and your heart, and you just decided this is what my life's going to be, and I'm going to make the most of it.
That's exactly right. Yep.
So after you were inducted in the federal building, where was basic training?
Well, they sent us out to Fort Lewis.
Okay.
But I had no training out there whatsoever.
Okay.
That was just the induction point. And from there, they shoot you all over America. You know, those army camps and God knows how many states. But when we boarded the bus, we all, talking high school talks and dances, that sort of thing. And inside of an hour or two, they dumped us off at Fort Lewis, and we stood in line, and a sergeant came out and said a few words, where we'd sleep, what we'd do, and at the very end of his lecture, he says, "Oh, by the way, I need somebody to help in the office. Anybody here can type?" Well, I got an A in typing at Garfield. I was a wizard. So I raised my hand, and okay, they picked me out. I was told to report at the headquarters building at 6 o'clock in the morning. The next morning, which I did, and he says, "You're not going to work in the office. You're going to work in the PX, in the mess hall."
Okay.
So I learned right then and there, you don't volunteer your services for
That's good advice.
In the Army, I'll tell you that. You never know what you're going to get.
There's one other question I've never asked you, but in talking to you over the last several months, you sound like you might have been a little bit of a heartbreaker, Phil. Did you leave a girl behind at Garfield when you went off to war?
No, well, yeah, I did. It was a girl from Bellingham, and I met her on a kind of a blind date, and we were pretty thick.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, overseas, I got a Dear John letter from her, so.
Really?
She met a sailor that she liked better than me, so.
Oh, I didn't know about any of this.
So yeah.
was that heartbreaking for you?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we were really thick. Not sexually, but just, just good friends and a little kiss here and there. And,
yes.
And, she liked my parents and that sort of thing. And,
where in the world were you when you got that letter?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. That's, I think I was in France. I think we, no, I was in Holland. We were having an engagement in Holland.
Okay.
Right after the first day of combat.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's got to be hard. You're thrown into the hell of war, and then you get that letter. That's a lot to deal with.
I wish I had saved the letter, but I was mad. And yeah. I just tore it up, threw it away, and 50, 60 years later, I did run across her here in Seattle, and unfortunately, she passed away. She ended up in Utah with her husband. They owned a shop of some kind, and she passed away of some disease. I don't know what it was. That ended that.
Okay. Well, in the minutes we have remaining, we still have to get to the lemonade story here.
Okay. I'll give it to you quick. They reported me to made me report to the mess hall, which I did. And in the morning, I was doing nothing but scrubbing pots and pans. And it was a very warm day in July. And it comes noontime, lunchtime, they took me out to the back and they made me mix gallons and gallons and gallons of lemonade for the guys.
Yeah.
And I'm mixing and drinking and mixing and drinking, and God knows how many gallons I drank myself. Anyway, it affected my stomach. I really had the belly ache of belly aches.
Oh, man.
And,
okay.
The mess sergeant saw me in dire trouble, and they called the medics. They didn't know what was wrong with me. They called the medics when they sent an ambulance and a couple of guys, and they took me to the Fort Lewis Hospital and pumped my stomach and drained me, cleaned me up good and proper. And kept me there overnight and just to keep check on me. And then somewhere in the afternoon the next day, I was sent back to where I originally started from, the barracks that I started from. And the place is empty. There's not a soul around, just me. And I found out that the guys I came in with were all shipped to the mountain troops, the ski troops.
Okay.
In Colorado, Camp Hale in Colorado.
Okay.
And I was to wait until the next group came in. Okay, the next day the new group came in. And that's when Lady Luck took over. They shipped this group to, of all places, La Jolla, California.
Oh, my goodness.
What could be a better place in paradise than La Jolla? the weather and the city and the girls.
Oh, yeah.
The beaches and what have you. And it was a Coast Artillery camp, Camp Carson, Camp Callan, California.
Okay.
And I did my basic training there. It lasted for 6 months, and it was heaven on earth. The training was tough, but we learned how to use those big searchlights and anti-aircraft guns and that sort of thing. And then the Army decided they didn't need that kind of servicemen. So one night they put us on a train and we were shipped to my future home, the 104th Infantry Division.
Wow.
And from there, it was 6 months of being in heaven. And by the way, where we trained was on the cliffs above the Pacific Ocean, and those cliffs and that area is now Torrey Pines Golf Course.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful.
So you can imagine how beautiful that was.
Yeah.
There,
I've played that course. It's beautiful. Where was the first place the 104th landed in Europe? Where were you when you were first shipped overseas?
Cherbourg, France.
Okay. So you went from 6 months of heaven in La Jolla, and then you were dropped into hell with all of that all of that fighting
well,
and
not,
bullets
not
flying.
Not immediately. The 104th was on desert maneuvers around the California desert, Mojave Desert, I think is what it was called.
Got it. Okay. And
then we were shipped to Camp Carson in Colorado. It's now called Fort Carson.
Sure.
And we trained there for another 6 months. And fortunately, we missed the D-Day landing. And that was the only engagement that the 104th missed, was the D-Day invasion.
Got it. Well, you know, when we've talked in the past, Phil, you've been very emotional when you've talked about how, you know, a lot of your brothers, you know, didn't come home. And you had an angel on your shoulder. You said you came back without a scratch. It's amazing to me that the only thing that stopped the great Phil Suleman was a glass of lemonade.
Yeah, it was. That gave me luck that stayed with me for another 2 years, something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, Phil, I am honored every time I get to talk to you, and I hope we have lots more conversations to come, because I'm serious, friend. You are maybe my listener's all-time favorite guest on this show.
Well, I hope so. I enjoy talking to you too, Dory. I look forward to every time we get to speak. So
okay.
I got more stories. If you got the listeners, I got the stories.
Give me a tease. Next time we talk, do you know what we're going to talk about? Do you have another story to tease for me?
Yeah, you know, I told you about my first day in combat, how I felt.
Yeah. Yep.
I said, if I could make it through this day without getting scratched, without getting hurt, I'll make it. Well, we had that night to go through, and that was another lady luck thing for me.
Oh, I can't wait
I'll
to hear that.
I'll say that for the next time we talk.
Okay, my brother. All right, Phil, I love you, man. Thank you for coming on with me again, and we'll talk again very soon.
Okay, Gary.
All right. World War II combat vet Phil Suleman joining us Fridays with Phil here on the Dory Monson Show. And we got lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.